There it goes. Yeah. Just took a minute there. All right, let's go ahead and get started here. Does everybody have their handouts? We're continuing lesson 18, study on one of the infamous personages in the Bible, the devil. So we'll be looking at that this evening. Let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Brother Wes, would you open us in prayer, please?
Dear Father, Lord God, we just thank you once again, Lord, for allowing us to come to your house tonight, Lord, to give you a precious word, Lord, and hold it close to our hearts, Lord. May it just become a fountain of living water, Lord, that we spew out of our mouths to others, Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you and love you tonight, Lord. We pray you bring those here that have come tonight, Lord, to hear your precious word. And just pray you pour your spirit out upon us, Lord.
Amen. Amen. All right, we're continuing our study on the devil, and we looked at on page 2 there. We finished last week with part 3, the minions of the devil. He has many helpers, the sons of God, the fallen angels, unclean spirits, and devils. And we finished up there last time, and now we're going to look at the warfare of the devil. The devil is a warrior, and he's at war, and whether or not we want to be at war, he is. So you can just either lay your armor down and quit and give up and tell the devil he wins, or you can fight. Say, yeah, once I start fighting, then that's going to really stop. No, he's just going to keep fighting, and you're going to have to keep fighting, and you're going to have to do it all your life if you're a Christian. That's all there is to it. Fight the good fight of faith. Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. So fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I bring unto my body and put it in subjection. So this is a real battle. It's a real war with a real individual. Okay? What? No? Why? Do you need it on? Can you hear me okay? All right. What? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got the recording going. Thank you. But always ask that. That's good. We don't want to, because I don't have to do this again sometime and get it, you know, get it done and get it over with. So, look in 2 Corinthians, as we begin tonight, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the warfare of the devil. And it is a real battle. You are a soldier. You've been drafted. You don't have any choice in the matter. You're in the Lord's army, whether you like it or not. So you can either fight and try and win, or you can just give up and lose. But look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Old Testament, what were the weapons? Carnal. Real swords, real arrows, real shields, real horses. You know, see. New Testament, it's not carnal. Our warfare is not carnal. Our warfare is spiritual. How do we fight that warfare? Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Through God. You can't do it. You can only do it through God. See? God has to do it. Through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Anybody know what a stronghold is? If you study war at all, there's these military guys and they go to war college. This college just to teach you how to go to war. See? These war technicians, and they really study this stuff and figure it all out and the strategies and everything else involved with it. And what you have in every warfare is you have strongholds. You have high ground. You have places that are enforced. Those are your strongholds. See, those are your best areas to launch your assaults from. Those are your strong points. And then you've got your weaker areas that you're trying to shore up and do something with. And that's a constant thing in a military battle that's going on. It's the same thing spiritually, see? You have strongholds and the devil has strongholds. The devil has strongholds in your life. Those are the ones he's trying to keep. Those are the ones you're having trouble getting rid of. Those are the places where you struggle the most. Why? Because he's got the stronghold, not you. See? And the only way that you're going to get the victory is if you can get rid of his stronghold. Say, how are you going to do that? Verse 5. Casting down imaginations. Images. It all starts there. It all starts with an imagination. It all starts with an image being put before you. With a thought. See? When the devil comes to Eve, he says, well, that's a nice tree, isn't it? Just a thought. Get her to look at it. Get her thinking. See? That's how he works. Through the imagination. Casting down imaginations and every high thing, there's your strongholds, that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Now, the more education you have, the more you have to fight that. You see? And you go to college, you know what you're going to learn at college? How to be a good atheist. That's what you're going to teach you at college. You get saved, and then you have a college degree, you've got to unlearn all that. You've got these wrong strongholds in there. You've got to cast that stuff because it's against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's the warfare. Are you thinking what Jesus Christ wants you to think right now? See? 5 minutes from now. 10 minutes from now. 2 hours from now. Tomorrow. See? That's the battle. It's right there. That's where the battleground needs to be. If you'll fight it there, you can win. If you're going to try and fight it on a later area, you're going to lose. Because that's the devil's stronghold. It's in the imaginations. It's in the mind. And that's where the battle is. And if you can get victory there, you'll win. See? Say, how do I do that? You keep your mind on the Lord. All the time. See? That's one of the dangers of television. It isn't necessarily that you're watching something bad or, you know. It's that your mind is in bubble zone. You understand? Your mind is... Right? And when that happens, you're more susceptible to the wrong thoughts, to the wrong things going on, and that's where the devil gets in, right there. Amen. Eventually, I'm going to just have to preach a series on spiritual warfare, I think, in our church. Get people up on that, because I think that's a weak area. We're trying to go to battle, and we don't know how to. So we need to know how to. Amen. And, of course, one of the problems there, too, is as a pastor and just a man, Lord, who am I to teach on that? I don't have the whole thing figured out yet. I don't always get the victory, see, but it needs to be taught. Why? It's a constant battle. It's a constant fight. You never arrive. You're always fighting. But the whole idea is to stay in the fight. It's the only way you're ever going to take any ground. It's the only way you're ever going to get any victories, see? And that's what we do our whole lives. Is fight that good fight of faith. We've got some handouts up here, if you need them. We're on the second page, section 4. Don't worry, you didn't miss out on all that tonight. We did it last time too, so this is a continuation from there. We're in part 4, and so it starts with a battle in the mind. Say, how does the devil work? How does his warfare work? Through lust and temptation. Look in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Good to see you all. John chapter 8. Find John 8 and verse 44. The warfare begins in the mind, and the purpose is to get you through your lusts. You understand that you have lusts. Everybody know that? Oh, not me. I'm saved. Quit it. Quit it. Stop it. Stop it. You're already lost. You're not going to win the fight. You don't know where your weak areas are. You don't know where the devil's strongholds are. You can't win. You've got to be able to at least acknowledge that. You see? Now, are they the same for you as they are for everybody else?
No.
But the Bible says there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. So every man, every woman has certain things. And you know what yours are. So I'm not going to call some out and pick on some people and leave some people out. You know what yours are. Amen? And those lusts... What is a lust? It's anything. Now, when you hear the word, naturally, you immediately think sexual, and that is one area, but there's many, many areas. See, you can get into the financial realm. You can get into the pride realm. You can get in the area of the what about me realm. You know, there's all kinds of areas there when it comes to lust. See, it can be food, it can be drugs, it can be liquor, it can be a whole variety of things. And I said I wasn't yet food, but see, I told you I wasn't going to get on individual things, and there you go, getting on individual things. All right. Anyway, verse 44 of John 8. Ye are of your father the devil. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, those that rejected him. Until you get saved, the devil's your father. When you get saved, who's your father? Who's your daddy? Amen. Amen. So, but he says, before that, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Why? He lusted. He wanted something. And abode not in the truth. Why? He lusted. He wanted something. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. It all starts with lust. Look back in Genesis chapter 3. Now, you need to be careful with this thing of, well, Adam and Eve, when God made them in the Garden of Eden, they were sinless. Well, they were sinless because they had not yet sinned. But you can't say that they did not have a ability to sin. Otherwise, they never would have. They did sin. See? Why? They had lusts. So the devil comes up and starts talking to the woman. Genesis 3:1. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, first attack against the word of God. We've looked at that before. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. All right, first mistake. Have a conversation with the devil. She's already done. She's already done right there. You think you're smarter than the devil? And why do you want to talk to him? I wasn't talking. I was just telling him to leave me alone. Then you were talking to him. I was just rebuking him in Jesus. No, you were talking to him. Why don't you talk to Jesus Christ about it instead of having a conversation with the devil? Now, ladies, who did he go after? You think he knows something? You might know something. I would just consider that. Amen? And verse 3, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Had God said that? No. She missed a word out in verse 2. She said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but God said, you may eat of them freely. She left a word out, and then she added words in. She got herself a good NIV going. Next thing you know, he tells the lie. Ye shall not surely die. Verse 4. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. What happened? Verse 6. And when the woman saw, there's a lust right there, saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, it looked nice, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Oh, I can get educated. What did she do? She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Why? She lusted first. She lusted first. And that's what lust will do. It will bring forth sin. Look in James chapter 1. You think the devil knows all this? Then what's he going to do? He's going to come at you and he's going to go against the lusts that he knows that you have. And that's where he's going to camp and that's where he's going to work, and that's the areas you're going to need to fight the most. That's right. Yeah, she would have been in trouble a long time ago, huh? Well, the problem is you don't see it there, but you'll see it later on in the Bible. A woman is easily deceived. See? Because of the way that she's made. Because she's made more innocent. She's made nicer. See? And so a woman is much more likely to think the best in people. A man's more likely to say, "What are you up to?" See? That's just how we are. Amen? Look in James chapter 1. I did say James 1, right? All right, verse 13. "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God.'" It's God's fault. Nope, can't happen. Why? "For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Why? God doesn't lust. God has everything. He doesn't lust. See? Verse 14, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by the devil." No. When he's drawn away how? "Of his own lust and enticed." Now, the devil may know that and use that, but it's your own lust that he's going after, right? And then what happens? "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So, you have lusts, right? You need to recognize them. Then how do you avoid sin? Real simple. Avoid having your lust conceive. There's a lot of talk these days. They got, you know, all this stuff about venereal diseases and, you know, out of wedlock pregnancy, you know, and they say use protection, right, to avoid contraception or whatever, to avoid conception, right? Well, you need to use protection to avoid conception. Because what the devil is going to do is he's going to come by with your lust and he's going to hold something out and try to get that thing to conceive. Once it's conceived, that thing that you were fighting, that thing that you were saying no to, that thing that you were in prayer about, the thing that you had victory over, no longer. Now you're going to go do it. It's too late. It's conceived. You've made up your mind. Once you do that, you've sinned. You say, "But I haven't committed the act yet." Yes, but you plan to. But we can't do that. We're Christians. You still have that same flesh that has those same lusts. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit. The Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. See? So what's the idea? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And whenever you don't, the shield's down, the sword's down, the helmet's off, the loins aren't girt about with truth, you don't have the breastplate of righteousness, you're not on your knees, your legs aren't protected, and wham, you're going to get hit. Unless you're not in the battle. I mean, if you just go to some, you know, charismatic, let's all get together and have a love fest church, and let's listen to our rock band and have our dancers come up and let's just share the love of Christ, the devil ain't fighting those people. He don't need to. He's already won. He's fighting you. You've got a Bible and you actually believe it and you want to tell other people about it. You're his problem. So you don't have to have the devil fight you. Just quit fighting him. Just quit witnessing. Just quit reading your Bible and praying. Quit going to church. Quit. I'm telling you how to have the devil leave you alone. And he'll leave you alone. And so will God. See? Preacher told me something one time. He said, you know, the closer you get to God, the closer you get to the devil. I didn't understand. I didn't believe that. You know, I didn't understand that at first. But the longer I've been saved, the more I've figured that thing out. That's a lot of truth in that thing right there. A lot of truth. That's what it is. And the closer you get to him, the more he's going to fight you. The more power you get, the more he's going to fight you. He ain't going to quit. See? Look over there in 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15. 1 John 2:15. Love not. I thought we were Christians. I thought we were supposed to love. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. Then what's the world if it's not the things? Because he said don't love either. Right? He said don't love the world, don't love the things of the world. We understand what the things of the world are. Right? That we're not supposed to love. But what is the world? The world itself is the whole system. The whole political system, the whole media, the whole Hollywood scheme, the whole thing. He says, you don't love any of that stuff. You don't love their standards. You don't love the way they think got things set up. You don't love anything about it. It's not for you. You're supposed to be dead to all that. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world. What's in the world? Lust. Lust. That's what's in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That stuff will last. All the rest of it won't. It's all going to pass away. It's all corrupt, and heaven and earth shall pass away. But my word shall not pass away. What's the problem? Lust. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes. Pride of life. Lust of the flesh. When she saw lust of the eyes, that the tree was good, and be desired to make one wise, pride of life, she took and did eat. Lust of the flesh. Now you see that thing? There's Eve right there. The devil comes to tempt Jesus Christ. What does he say? Hey, Jesus, you know, I know you're hungry. Why don't you command those stones that they may be made bread? Lust of the flesh. See? He takes them up to a high mountain, shows them all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Lust of the eyes. See that thing? And he says, if you'll just get down and worship me, I'll give it all to you. Pride of life. Bible says Jesus Christ was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. All temptation is based on lust. You need to recognize what your lusts are, and those are the areas you need to concentrate on and fight on. Those are the areas you need to memorize Scripture on. See? Whatever your weaknesses are, and we all have them. Amen? So you need to fight the good fight of faith, because the devil's going to fight you every step of the way. Look in Job chapter 1. He works in the minds. He works through lust. He works through accusation. Job chapter 1. And once you're saved for a little while, you begin to realize when it is the devil's talking. The problem is, if you haven't been saved long, you think it's you talking. You think, I'm just thinking this in my mind, or, you know, preacher, I've been thinking it over. No, you haven't. You've been listening to the devil. You understand? There's a difference there. You got to be careful listening to the devil. Job 1, and verse 8. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Oh, well, the devil can't say anything about him. He's doing right. He's perfect. He's the best guy around. Verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Well, you've put a hedge about him. You've taken care of him. I'll tell you what, take all the stuff from him. He'll cuss you out. You just think he loves you, Lord. He don't love you. You see that thing? What's he doing? He's accusing Job before God. Now, he can't do that anymore. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 John 2:1, right? So, he can't do that to us anymore. But he can still bring accusation to you. You ever tried that? You ever tried that with him? God's all through with you. You ever tried that with you? Has he ever tried? You know, a Christian wouldn't have done that. You couldn't have been saved and do that. Has he ever tried that stuff? I doubt he has. He might have, though. You never know. Look over there in Revelation chapter 12. And we saw this when we looked at the names of the devil, and one of his names is the accuser. Revelation 12 and verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. There he is. He's the accuser. And he's out to bring any accusation. You say, how would he do that? He'll use another Christian to try and accuse you. That's never happened, has it? Huh? Now you see that thing? You gotta watch that stuff. That's one of his weapons. That's one of the ways that he attacks, is through accusation. You need to recognize the difference between Holy Ghost conviction and accusation. See? A preacher preaches on fasting. The devil comes by and starts accusing somebody, and they don't end up eating for 2 weeks because they feel guilty for eating. Why? Well, the preacher preached on fasting, and I need to make sure I don't. But you see how the devil will take that thing, and since you've decided, I do need to put down my flesh, and I do need some special things from God, and I am going to fast, and I'm going to ask God. You can go there, and that's good, but the devil will take that and go the other way with it and get you feeling guilty if you ever eat again. You know, God gave your taste buds. He gave you food. He gave you all that to enjoy. But he'll take that thing and twist it around. If he can't get you one way, he'll get you the other. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And it's a wrestling match. How do you wrestle? Most important thing in wrestling is keeping your balance, man. Because he'll get you one way or he'll get you the other. See? Right? Anything he can do to get you, he'll do it. All right, look over in Galatians chapter 5. You understand, the devil can't touch you. You're God's. Anything he does, he would have to have God's permission. See? He can't do anything to you. But one thing he can do is the same thing he did to Eve. Talk. He can talk. That's all he does. How does he tempt? He talks. How does he accuse? He talks. What else did he do? He brings fear. How? He talks. Look in Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What's the yoke of bondage? Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Circumcision. What? The point in Galatians was they were teaching them that they needed to go back under the law and be circumcised to be able to stay saved. They were adding something to the gospel. They were perverting and corrupting the gospel. See? And what Paul's warning is you need to stand fast in that liberty Because what will happen is if you're not careful, there's a temptation there to bring you back into bondage. I've seen people that were Roman Catholics that get saved, but then they're afraid they'll leave the Roman Catholic Church. Because every time they do, the devil's right there saying, well, what if you're wrong? And what if, you know, the priest, if you leave the church, then they said you'd go to hell. And you don't want to go to hell, do you? You better stay. That's how he works. See? Yeah? Really? Yeah. That's how they work. Okay? That's how they work. And it's fear. And the devil, see, is right there. That's his bride. And he uses that stuff to try to keep people in bondage. He uses that fear. Look over in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 15. Deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What's that? That's religion. Well, I'm going to die. So I need to stay in bondage to this religion so that hopefully one day I can live. That's not Christianity. What's Christianity? I have life. I'm living. I have joy. I don't have fear. I can rejoice in the fact that I know I'm saved and that I can live for God. I don't have to be afraid of, you know, what if I do this and lose my salvation? There's great liberty in that. You can now serve God acceptably, the Bible says, with fear and trembling. But it's not a fear of, oh no, God's going to take my salvation. It ain't that at all. Until somebody gets over that, you can't grow as a Christian. You're stuck right there. You're just like a dog chasing his tail. You're going nowhere. You're not making any progress at all. All right, look over there in 1 John again. Chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4. In verse 16. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. How? That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. I don't have to worry about standing before God one day and being judged for my sins. Thank God. I can have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as He is, so are we in this world. Does He have eternal life? So do we. Is He the Son of God? So are we. You understand? We have everything He has. We have life. We're not waiting to get it. Verse 18. There is no fear in love. See, we serve God now out of love, not out of, oh, if I don't do this, God's going to send me to hell. You understand the difference? See? There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So all these charismatics thinking they can lose their salvation, or they've gotten saved for the 12th time, and all the rest of that, they're getting nowhere. They just continue to, oh, I feel terrible, I feel horrible, let me go and go back and repent and get right again. Okay, oh yeah, I got saved, oh praise the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh yeah, and I got the Holy Ghost now, I got the Holy Ghost, I'm doing good. And they go on for 6 months and then something happens and boom! They fall again, they're out of church for a while, what's the use, what's the point? And they get back and God brings them under conviction again and they go and they just keep going over the same ground over and over again. They never get anywhere. Yeah, it is sad. But that's Christianity. Today. That's the kind of stuff that's going on. When you don't even get a hold of that stuff, that's first base material. See? That's Christianity 101. It's got to start there. But the devil, man, he knows how to use that fear. And he'll use doubt. He'll use fear. He'll use accusation. He'll use lust. And he gets in there and he'll find the flesh, buddy, and he'll try to use it to his advantage as much as possible. Look over there in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Oh, I'm sorry, we missed a section. Look in John 8 again. Doubt. We didn't look at doubt yet. No, John, I'm sorry. Gospel of John chapter 8. He uses temptation through lust. He uses accusation. He uses fear. And he uses doubt. And the doubt is always against the truth. He is a liar. He wants you to doubt the truth. He wants to fog it over. He wants to put a gray area. He wants to do something, say, to blind you from the truth. John chapter 8, verse 44 again. You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, so when he speaks, what's he going to say? Yeah. Like somebody said, I can tell when he's talking because he's lying. Or I can tell when he's lying because he's talking. Right? He's a liar. Can't believe him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. All right. If you're of God, you're supposed to hear God's words. What are God's words? Truth. So what's the devil going to do? He's going to attack truth. He's going to get you to doubt God's words. Any way he can. That's what he desires. See? You need to understand that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. If he can get you to doubt your sword, how many battles are you going to win? How many are you even going to want to go into if you don't have a sword to fight with? See? You're unarmed. You're unarmed without your sword. And so he brings lies and doubts against the truth. Over there in Matthew chapter 4, when the devil comes to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ, what does he say? What's the first words out of his mouth? If thou be the Son of God. Well, what's that all about? Now, you see that thing? If. See that little doubt, just that little hook in there, that's what he's doing. To try and bring doubt. That's how the devil works. You got to stick with the truth. What did Jesus do? It is written. Yeah, Scripture, Scripture, Scripture. Amen. That's what Jesus did. You see? That's the only avenue you have to stay in the truth. And then you just got to just sit back and wait for a second and gather your thoughts and say, well, okay, wait a minute. Either the whole thing's a lie or it's all true. See? It can only be one or the other. Whenever any Christian will do that, who's been in his Bible a little bit and been in church a little while, you know it's true. You've seen God answer your prayers. You've seen God do things. What are you going to do about all that? Make believe one there? Well, if it's real, then the whole thing's real. And all the words are true, and you can go by them. And you can count on them. See? The devil will try and get you away from that, get you thinking. Where the Bible says there in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. That's what the devil wants you to do. Well, you see, the way I figure it, quit figuring it. Yeah, quit figuring it, just believe it. That takes faith. That'll please God. That right there. All right, now, his devices, envy, unforgiveness, hatred, strife, variance, bitterness. It's the flesh. And what the devil will try and attempt to do, I hope you all are hearing me right now, what he will try and attempt to do is create circumstances to bring out the worst in people. Amen. See? Right. And what he wants to bring out is that stuff right there. Envy, unforgiveness, hatred, strife, bitterness. You say, what's the opposite of all that? Love, kindness, joy, peace. It's the Spirit. The devil works through the flesh. See? Amen? So what he'll do, now hear me, he'll create circumstances. And you'll look back and say, man, how did we ever even get in this position? He created the circumstances. Just a little piece at a time. He'll do it in a church, he'll do it in a business, he'll do it in a home, he'll do it wherever he can. Try to create just the right circumstances. Well, why did they do that? I can't believe they did that. And they said this, and now they're doing this. And but you didn't know the whole story. But then you now said that, and somebody else hears that and brings that to somebody else. And then they get mad because they heard you were saying this. And before you know, you got a forest fire. See? From just a little kindling. And the devil used that tongue, which is always the offspring of bitterness, strife, unforgiveness, you know, those things. And so you need to be aware of his devices, the things that he will use. You think the devil knows the right person to bring by at the right time just to get your goat, to get you upset, to get you angry, to get you fuming, to get you thinking, to get, see, he knows. He's been around mankind for 6,000 years. He's got us figured out a little bit. 1 Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6. It's talking about the qualifications for a bishop, for a preacher. Verse 6. Not a novice. Why? Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. See? Where does all this stuff come from? Envy, unforgiveness, hatred, strife, bitterness. It's pride. Well, they did that to me. That's what's behind all that. It's self. See? If self is crucified, if me isn't involved, that stuff will never happen. That stuff will never occur. The problem with the church is, thank God, it's full of Christians that have God's Holy Spirit. But it's also full of Christians that have flesh. See? And if the Spirit isn't in control and directing and leading, and that flesh rises up, it can get ugly real fast. And it's no more the Holy Spirit. See? People come to this church and they say it's a good spirit in the church. Seems like people are cooperating, everybody gets along and loves one another, and looks like God's working and doing things. That's where the Holy Spirit's working. But how much do you think it'll take for flesh to get the upper hand if we're not careful? See? Yeah? Somebody falsely accuses you, see? And then somebody says something, and if you're not dead, you're going to fight back. That's flesh. Right? And then what do you have? Now you got warfare, but it's not spiritual. It's carnal, right? And that's the problem. And that's where we need to be aware of those things. See? The devil will use that pride to bring those things out. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. You got it? 2 Corinthians 2, verse 10. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Pride, envy, unforgiveness, hatred, strife, bitterness. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians are ignorant of his devices. And according to what I'm reading right there, Christians should not be ignorant of his devices. We should know what they are. So that when we see them, we recognize them. We say, whoop, wait a minute. We got a problem here. Let's fix this. Let's pray. Let's get with the Lord. Let's get this thing right. All right? And if we don't, you'll see it, man. You'll see that flesh rise up. And you'll have problems. Amen? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And he's got his devices. 1 Peter chapter 5 and James chapter 4. 1 Peter 5 and James 4. First Peter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. Be sober. Now, he's talking there. That's not... Now, obviously, God doesn't, you know, want you to get drunk. But the soberness he's talking about here is more than that. The soberness is just keep your wits about you. You understand? Be sober-minded. Look at things the way you're really supposed to look at them. Don't get off half-cocked and get, you know... Be sober. Be sober. Think these things through. Be sober. Be vigilant. See, what's vigilance? Always on guard, that vigilant. You're always ready. You're always prepared. See, be vigilant because your adversary, your neighbor. No. Because your adversary, your fellow Christian. Because your adversary, your wife. No. Because your adversary, your husband. Because your adversary, who? The devil. As a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. That's a warning. Oh, yes, sir. Yeah. He'll use people. He'll find those that don't want to be led by the Spirit and walk in the flesh to try and mess you up. The devil would, and if he's going to use people, he'd much rather use a Christian. No, because it robs God of glory and makes God look bad. See, when the devil can do that. That's what he does. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Others do. You haven't gone through anything that nobody else has gone through. Nothing. See? Remember Elijah? I only am left and they seek my life. No. God said, I got a bunch more guys out there just like you that are still sticking by the stuff and preaching and, you know, they're all over the place. There's Bible-believing like churches like ours all over this country. There is. Honest to God, there are. There's probably 20 of them in Alabama. Maybe 10. Between them. What? Well, Brother Munn's church is a Bible-believing church. Yeah. Bond secure. Mm-hmm. But he's over there and we're over here. And that, yeah. And we'll just, you know, Lord willing, someday we'll maybe help get one started in Daphne and up in Bay Minette, and we'll cover the county. Maybe get one down in Lillian. You know, I thought about the circuit riding preaching stuff, but it just don't work with a wife and four kids. Now you tell me. I did enough stuff before I was saved to take care of the brain cells, brother. You don't worry about that anymore. All right. Let's finish this up real quick. Back in James. And James, you're going to see the same exact thing. Verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That'd be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? To be an enemy of God and be a Christian? But I guess it's possible, or he wouldn't have put it in the Bible. Verse 5. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. How do you resist the devil? He just told you how. Draw nigh to God. Say, I'm having a bad day. All right. Get you a couple songs copied out of the hymn book that you like. Memorize a few songs. Put on the Christian radio. Get you a Christian music CD. And start praising God. And see what happens. Amen. Try it. Try me out. Amen. Start quoting Scripture. Start praying. Go out and start witnessing. See if you don't get maybe filled with the Spirit a little bit and forget about those problems. Amen. Okay. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. That's a promise. That's a wonderful promise from the Bible. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and He shall lift you up. Well, what do we do? Verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law. Amen? So, it all comes under that stuff right there. Bitterness, strife, wrath, hatred, unforgiveness, variance, envy. All under the umbrella of pride. And if we'll just humble ourselves under God, we can avoid a lot of those troubles. A lot of those problems right there. And you have to learn to forgive. You have to. When you don't forgive, you're only hurting yourself. You're only hurting yourself. But you don't understand what they did. No, I don't. You're right. I don't. And you know what else? I don't care. Because things have happened to me. And you know what? Oh well. Ain't nothing you can do about it. So you just rejoice and praise the Lord anyhow. Amen. All right, we'll go ahead and take a break there and pick it up in about 10 minutes or so. Amen. Brother Kenny, would you...